Today's reading is taken from the Apostle Paul's letter to Titus, chapter 3, verses 1 to 8. Remind the people to be subject to rulers and authorities, to be obedient, to be ready to do whatever is good, to slander no one, to be peaceable and considerate, and always to be gentle towards everyone. At one time we too were foolish, disobedient, deceived and enslaved by all kinds of passions and pleasures. We lived in malice and envy, being hated and hating one another. But when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ, our Saviour, so that having been justified by his grace, we might become heirs, having the hope of eternal life. This is a trustworthy saying, and I want you to stress these things, so that those who have trusted in God may be careful to devote themselves to doing what is good. These things are excellent and profitable for everyone. This is the word of the Lord.
Thank you very much. And here comes Tina, who's going to preach. No, I'm only joking. Just to explain, I put a notice in Cogs News about kindness, and I said that if you've experienced kindness, it's affected your life, let me know. And thankfully one or two people have come forward. So, here's Tina.
Right, okay. Good morning, everybody. I'm really nervous, as usual. Right, so I've experienced a lot of unkindness in my life through domestic abuse. The first time I remember anyone showing me real kindness was a lady in my old church. I didn't even know this lady. It was the first time that we had met. She came up to me with this massive smile and she said, "God wants me to bless you." And she gave me £10. I said, "I can't take that." And she said to me, "Please let me bless you." I don't even remember what I did with the money. But in that moment, I knew that God was with me. And no matter what I was going through, and that lady's kindness gave me the strength to get out of the domestic abuse I was experiencing at the time. I'm so sorry, I wasn't going to cry. Thanks for listening.
Thank you. Thank you, Tina, for your courage. Talking about personal stuff is not easy. Let's just pray. And Father, we thank you for Tina, and we pray for more blessing, the blessing of the Holy Spirit. And we pray, Holy Spirit, you would open up the word of God right now, in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, you sometimes wonder what you're meant to be doing with your life. Do you want to know what God is saying to you right now? There's one thing I believe he's saying to each and every one of us here this morning, and also to those of you who are watching on live stream. It's something he once said through the prophet Micah some 800 years before Jesus came. It's something that he always says to his people, from Micah chapter 6 verse 8. He has told you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you but to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. That verse sums up the two greatest commandments, to love God and to love our neighbour. And notice the link with the fruit of the Spirit, that one word, kindness. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, and so on. And that's the fruit we are looking at today. That's our theme this morning, as you know. You know, and God says, he says, love it. Love it. Love kindness. Love being kind. Love doing kind things. You know, if you love something, you'll put time, money and effort into it, won't you? If you love fishing, you go and get yourself a decent fishing rod and fishing reel, and you'll pay to fish somewhere and all the rest. You'll be enthusiastic about it and spend time thinking about it. And God says, love kindness. Why? Because being kind is a way to love others. And that includes loving each other within the family of the church. Kindness is a kind of glue that sticks us together. And kindness is a kind of oil that keeps the sort of machinery of the church working smoothly. Well, we've heard from Tina. Dave Burrell can't be here this morning because he's away in Norfolk. So he's asked me to read this testimony to the kindness of others in this church. And it goes like this. This is Dave speaking. 4 years ago, I spent a total of nearly 4 months in Queen's Hospital after an 11-hour operation. A few weeks later, I was discharged, only to be sent straight back by a district nurse as I was dehydrated. After getting through that, I was discharged again. But a couple of weeks later, I was rushed back to hospital with a serious pelvic infection, which hospitalised me for a further 6 weeks. This was an unbearably tough time, not only for me, but also for my lovely wife, Pam. I am forever grateful for the visitors who came to see me during my time in hospital. Not only was it a support to me, but also to Pam and my family. As I said, I am forever grateful to Alan Stokes, Graham Ball, Norman Filmer, and Malcolm and Leslie Judd. I can't thank you enough for your love, support, and kindness at that difficult time for myself and my family. God bless you, Dave. Isn't that good? That's real kindness. You know, it's not hard to be kind. It's actually quite simple. But when our focus is on ourselves, either we don't take the time or we don't make the effort. Sadly, kindness is in very short supply in our world today. There's so much cynicism, criticism, sarcasm and scorn around, isn't there? And not least in the world of politics, it just seems to turn people off. Just imagine what the House of Commons would be like if the members, the MPs, were all, you know, just kind to each other. If they put an end to name-calling and laughing at each other, if the Leader of the Opposition thanked the Prime Minister for his hard work, if the Prime Minister thanked the Leader of the Opposition for his thoughtful and helpful questions, if they wished each other a good break during the summer recess, if the Speaker didn't have to keep shouting, "Order! Order!" throughout the whole session, and if interviewers were kind to politicians. Well, what a change that would all be. Now, when St. Paul described the meaning of love in his first letter to the Corinthians, the very first two words that he used were patience and kindness. He said, love is patient, love is kind. So kindness is almost at the top of the list of the ways of expressing love. Kindness is so important because it involves compassion, it involves caring, it involves giving. And kindness is seen in our behaviour, so it contrasts actually with the other fruit of the Spirit we've seen. Let's see what each has to do with. Love has to do with attitude. Joy has to do with emotions. Peace has to do with the mind. Patience has to do with reactions. And kindness has to do with behaviour. You see how these things are all linked. These fruit are produced by the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of Jesus himself. And you know, no one has shown more kindness than Jesus Christ. When I was thinking and praying about this sermon, one incident in the life of Jesus kept coming to mind. And there, of course, there's many examples of his kindness in Scripture. But one stood out for me for some reason. It was a time when Jesus was arrested. Peter tried to protect Jesus with his sword. And in the event, he cut off the right ear of the high priest's servant. Do you recall that story? And Jesus promptly healed the servant's ear. I'm not quite sure what he did. Did he say, Peter, you know, that's not the way, and get down and pick up the ear and sort of stick it back and heal it? Or did he create a new one? I don't know. But you see, he was kind to his enemies. And the servant was named Malchus. We don't know what happened to Malchus, but I can't help wondering if he saw Jesus on the cross and he heard all these awful accusations being made against our Saviour. And he stood there thinking, but, you know, he healed me. He was kind to me. Perhaps he was the one that who he said he was after all. No, we don't know what happened, but it makes you sort of wonder if the kindness of Jesus spoke to that man. Let's remember that all our actions speak very loudly indeed, kind or unkind. So, God's kindness. Before we move on to think about how we can be more kind, let's think about God. He is the source of all kindness. What does the scripture say about the kindness of God? Well, firstly, God's kindness is part of his character, his essential nature. The Bible tells us that the kindness is at the very heart of God's character. When God revealed his name and character to Moses, he proclaimed himself as the Lord God, compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, and abounding in loving kindness and truth. And then again, King David reflected on the kindness of God in Psalm 136, where he begins, "Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good, for his loving kindness endures forever." And the amazing thing about David's statement, his loving kindness endures forever, is that as the psalm continues, he repeats it no less than 26 times in the next 26 verses. And so over and over again, he's talking about the loving kindness of God. In fact, that psalm, Psalm 136, the great Hallel, was sung at every Passover meal, so Jesus would have sung it too. So why not turn to your neighbour and say, God is kind, and I'll get a drink. Great. But there's something else about God's kindness. And secondly, God's kindness leads to our repentance. The Bible also teaches that God's kindness does that. As a loving father, God uses kindness to draw us away from sin and towards himself. And so when writing to the Christians in Rome, St. Paul had to ask them, "Don't you see how wonderfully kind, tolerant and patient God is with you? Does this mean nothing to you? Can't you see that his kindness is intended to turn you from your sin?" You know, when we hear about judgment, when we hear about God's judgment, we're a bit inclined to run the other way. We'd rather not hear that. But when we hear of his kindness in the gospel, we are drawn to Jesus and away from sin. Having said that, we're also cautioned, I'll say it again, we're also cautioned against taking God's kindness for granted. And so St. Paul later went on to warn the Romans, and this kind of balances out, if you like, the other verse. "Consider therefore the kindness and sternness of God, sternness to those who fell, but kindness to you, provided that you continue in his kindness. Otherwise, you also will be cut off. Those who fell that Paul talks about were those in the days of old who were disobedient and did not believe. God was stern towards them, but he shows grace to those who continue in his kindness. What does it mean? It means to continue to believe and trust in Jesus Christ. Well, we've seen God's kindness as part of his character, and it leads to repentance. But next, God's kindness actually caused our salvation. As we heard St. Paul say to Titus, and this was read to us just now, but when the kindness and love of God our Saviour appeared, he saved us, not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit, whom he poured out on us generously through Jesus Christ our Saviour. Now, the Bible is saying here that God's kindness is completely undeserved. In fact, what we really deserve is not kindness, but sternness, and then his punishment. But God saves us not because we are good, but because he is kind. Furthermore, God's kindness is not only undeserved, it's unearned. Here again, a bit more of Paul writing to the Ephesians. He said, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You see, no amount of good works can bridge that gap, that chasm between us and God. It is just too great. The gap, the great chasm, is too big for us to get across. And if we did, well, I think we'd probably brag about it. God's kindness caused our salvation. Nothing else can or ever will do it. Which leads us to understand that God's kindness motivates our kindness. His kindness is the impetus, the springboard, the launch pad for what we do. Do you recall that parable of the unmerciful servant that Jesus taught, and how a servant owed a king an absolute fortune? It was about, well, it's millions of pounds in our money today. And this servant was fearful of being sold into slavery with his family because he couldn't pay the debt. He didn't have millions of pounds. So he fell to his knees and begged the king for mercy, and the king indeed had mercy on him. He cancelled the whole debt and let him go. In other words, the king was incredibly kind to this servant. Later, that same servant found a poor bloke who owed him just a few quid. Yet, when that poor man begged for mercy, the servant had him banged up in prison. And so, when the king heard about it, he was absolutely outraged. And so, the king forced him to pay back all the money he originally owed him. And in so doing, treated him the way that he had treated his debtor, that is, by his own standard. And so we learn that God's kindness to us means that we are obligated to be kind to everybody else. But this doesn't mean that we have to simply be kind out of a sense of obligation, kind of duty. It's my duty to be kind and all that kind of thing. We should desire to be kind because, well, we want to be like our Father in heaven. And that's why Jesus said, love your enemies, do good to them, and lend to them without expecting to get anything back. And then your reward will be great, and you will be children of the Most High, because he is kind to the ungrateful and wicked. But merciful, be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Well, we've seen so far that God's kindness is part of his character. God's kindness leads to our repentance, and God's kindness caused our salvation. God's kindness motivates our kindness. So how can we grow in kindness and become more kind? Well, here's just a sort of few thoughts. There's lots of ways, but here's a few ideas. Growing in kindness. Consider God's kindness to us. It's a really good idea to take time to dwell on how kind God has been to us personally. He may seem far away right now, for whatever reason. He may seem quite distant. But to take time to look back over the years, in the second chapter of his letter to the Ephesians, St. Paul speaks of God and says of the incomparable riches of his grace expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. So can you recall what your life was like before you became a Christian? Can you look back and see all the ways in which he's blessed you and possibly blessed your family as well? Can you see his kindness? When we see that, it motivates us to be kind to others. St. Paul wrote to the Colossians chapter 3, "Therefore, as God's chosen people, holy and dearly loved, clothe yourselves with compassion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience." Notice there, to shorten it, clothe yourselves with kindness. I'm sure that some of us give a great deal of thought about what to wear on the Sunday when we come to church. Perhaps we give it too much thought. I don't know. You can think about that. But God says, don't forget to put on kindness before you come. In fact, it applies to every walk of life. You've got your hat and coat on. But Lord, give me kindness as I go through this day, a kindness to others and to receive it. But secondly, a way of showing kindness, to give generously to those in need. We sometimes hear of people said to be kind-hearted. You know, or so-and-so, they're really kind-hearted. And that's great. But a person who is kind-hearted but never shows it by their actions isn't really kind-hearted at all. Kindness is an activity of some kind. Kindness needs to be expressed and particularly reflected in our giving. And the Bible has a lot to say about it, such as St. John's Gospel, St. John's first epistle, where we read in 1 John chapter 3, "If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person?" But kindness isn't only shown, of course, in our financial giving, giving people time, help, and of course gifts and cards expresses kindness. And it's something that we can do individually and also with others, perhaps say in a Cornerstone group. That's a thought. Is there something your group can do as a group to help somebody or help some people? Can you together corporately express kindness? How else might we grow in kindness? Well, speak kind words to others. Our words are incredibly powerful, either for good or for bad. The power of life and death is in the tongue. And a lot of the time, you know, we have no idea what others are wrestling with, and yet just a few kind words can make a huge difference to them without even us knowing. And so we read in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 12, "Anxiety weighs down the heart, but a kind word cheers it up." You know, before you leave here this morning, you could do so much for somebody else. Perhaps even without realising it, the kind words. You know, by complete contrast, unkind words are like a sword thrust, as the Bible says. You know, my father was a man who believed in God, but he never went to church for all sorts of reasons. But he said to me that one reason was that he once heard a church treasurer say something unkind about people that live in council houses, and it didn't go down well. I grew up in a council house. Lastly, let's remember something important. Remember, God rewards our kindness. Right? Now, we're taught to be kind without expecting something back from people. However, we can expect to get something back from God because he's promised to reward kindness. And here's just a few thoughts about this. Proverbs: those who are kind benefit themselves that the cruel bring ruin on themselves. And again, whoever is kind to the poor lends to the Lord, and he will reward them for what they have done. Okay? He will reward your kindness. One final thought in closing. Please don't forget to be kind to yourself. It's not only kindness to others we extend. We should be kind to ourselves as sons and daughters of God. If you thought about being kind to yourself, maybe just accepting that, well, that you're not a machine and that you need a break. Accept that you're not perfect. Accept you're not infallible. Don't be hard on yourself. Don't keep pushing yourself to measure up to the expectations of other people. And forgive yourself. Sometimes the last person we forgive is ourselves. You know, we know that Jesus died for us, and we know that God has forgiven us, but sometimes we still hold it against ourselves. So you can look in the mirror and say, I forgive myself. Be kind. Treat yourself. Treat yourself. Even if it's just a donut or a Belgian bun. It won't kill you. I won't say anymore. I'm going to wrap this up, okay? When God made you, he thought he did a good job. So accept yourself. He has told you, O mortal, what is good. And what does the Lord require of you? But to do justice and to love kindness and to walk humbly with your God. Amen. Just going to pray. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for all the kindness that you've shown us in your son Jesus. Thank you for the kindness of the cross. And Lord, we pray that you would shower kindness upon us and upon this community. Help us to be kind in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to ask the band to get ready to play. And I feel that possibly there's two sort of groups here this morning. Frankly, there's those who've been hurt, maybe really hurt, by the unkind words and actions of others. But then also there's those who want to experience more of the kindness of God. And didn't Jesus say, which of you fathers, if your son asks for a fish, will give him a snake instead? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And you can't be more kind than that. So we normally have the prayer ministry right at the end. What we're going to do, we're going to just continue in worship with a couple of songs. And I would say to you, look, don't wait. Don't wait till the very end. Come forward. I'm inviting the team, the prayer ministry team, to come down here as well. Let's be receiving the kindness of God. And if you need prayer for anything, especially if you've been wounded by the unkindness of others, then make your way down here. We're going to be focusing on Jesus, upon God, the source of all kindness, in these few minutes. Please